never rests.
Counting colors in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you here on the Dogs HQ YouTube channel. I am Jay Bruce. He's Chad Simmons. Excited to be with you this morning. A quick shout out here. As always, we are presented by our friends at American Pride Bank. And if you're looking for some localized solutions for your banking, get with American Pride Bank. Decision makers at every step of the way. That's what the American Pride Bank promise is. You can find them in Athens, Alpharetta, online at AmericanPride.bank. They are a member FDIC and an equal opportunity lender. Welcome in, Chad Simmons. Chad, thank you so much for being here, buddy.
Yeah, man. Happy to be here. Just staying on the phone these times, man. It's wild. You know, as you know, you've been around for a long time. It's like the June is the old January, you know, like we used to be in the business long ago when there was one signing day in February. Now, you know, June is that January, what it used to be for us.
Oh, no. Yeah, no question about it, man. It's almost wild to see how far that thing's changed, and it's I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, I think it's moved, Chad, to that whole idea of guys just wanting to get it done before the year begins. But I think that, you know, you've got to move from this place with it where you got to adapt or die, right? And Georgia is certainly adapted. Went on one of the most compelling runs we have seen in a long, long time just here recently. Chad, I want you to go back through that last week for Georgia. What kind of stood out to you about what the Bulldogs were able to do over the course of that run, and how did that reflect kind of nationally?
You know, obviously just hitting the second part first. I mean, nationally, moving to number one class in the country obviously caught the attention of programs and recruits and fans nationwide. And, you know, Kirby, obviously, I think first and foremost wants to come in and recruit, you know, the state of Georgia and kind of lock things down in the Peach State. But you have to go outside the state and kind of fill your needs and get the top targets and players that can help you, you know, win a national championship and compete for SEC and national championships there. And, you know, obviously they won some big battles, and keeping guys at home like a Jay Lamar, where Clemson went hard after him. Miami was in the mix there. I mean, going into Florida for a guy like James Johnson down in South Florida in Miami's backyard. I mean, look, Georgia puts the work in. Like you said, you have to adapt, and guys want to make decisions early. They've had guys on campus every weekend in June, a lot in May, throughout the spring. They laid the groundwork, you know, in junior days back in January for games last in the fall. And they stay consistent, man. Kirby and that staff, look, there's no days off over there in Athens. Those guys work. I mean, even this past week, you know, I think the staff's on vacation. They make that run late and flip the script on PJ Dean. Glenn Schumann's at the beach working the phones to land that one. So, look, there's no downtime in college football recruiting, and Georgia's success, you know, that's a big part. Those guys don't rest. They don't get complacent. They work extra hard. I think Kirby leads that from the top. Others kind of believe in that method. And to work for him, you have to work that way, you know, and be wired that way to be successful at Georgia. And I think that reflects on that national recruiting success for this class.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and Chad, I guess looking back over that, you mentioned some of the names in this one, and there were some big ones, man. James Johnson, you know, that was recruitment, Chad, that it felt like a lot of people thought would end up going the way of Miami because he was a Florida guy. It sounded like Texas was in there. Georgia dealing with some of those, we'll call it what it is. The Georgia fans get a little bit of that boogeyman mentality when they hear Texas and Miami mentioned with some of these guys. How are the Dogs able to overcome in the end for a guy like James Johnson, the number one defensive lineman in our rankings?
Yeah, I mean, I think just making him believe in what they can do with him once he gets there. I mean, I think putting the guys in the NFL draft, I mean, obviously specifically for him being a defensive lineman, Trey Scott, his resume, what he's done at Georgia since being in Athens, to me, I think that was the number one factor. We both know NIL is a big thing. It's a real thing in pretty much every recruitment now. You know, it's different for every player. You know, how much weight does it carry in their decision? You know, I can say with confidence, James Johnson had bigger NIL offers than the one he got from Georgia, but he believes in himself. He believes in that staff at Georgia. And that combination of what Georgia does with development and putting guys in position to be successful and get them drafted and make them many, many millions in the NFL, combined with the, you know, I guess just the, they were competitive in the NIL, but we both think Texas and Miami both were higher on the financial side. But I think just a combination of that being competitive, the NIL with James Johnson, compared to what they do developmental wise at Georgia and their resume, put Georgia on top. And to me, it came down to kind of an old school recruitment. They got him there in January for the first time on junior day. They laid out their plan for him at that time. They showed them the development history, what they have for guys coming up in this year's draft at the time in May, and then next year in the future. And that laid the groundwork to get him back in the spring, get him back for an official visit, and then to beat Miami and Texas in the end. Of course, Florida was in there as well.
Yeah, no, you mentioned that development, Chad. And I'm curious, the guys that you talk to, what do they say when it comes to Georgia's development? Because, I mean, the NFL draft kind of proves it out, right? I mean, the dogs are putting guys out in an insane clip. How high is that playing into guys' minds still in this NIL?
I think it's number one. When you talk to players about Georgia, it's development and competition. You know, I feel like the biggest things I hear about Georgia is putting guys, as they say, in the league. There's no more saying NFL. It's always league. It's the league, you know, NFL. You know, so to me, that's the number one thing I hear about Georgia is putting guys in the league. Number two, I feel like, is they talk about the competition. Not that Georgia plays Florida, Auburn, South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, whatever, but it's the day-to-day competition at practice, in workouts. It's the competition within the program. If you go to Georgia, you're going to play against the best guys every day, Monday through Friday, to prepare you for those big Saturdays, you know, between the hedges or on the road somewhere. So, to me, what I hear from the national recruits they recruit and pursue every year is development and the competition within the program.
And I guess, Chad, also looking at this run that they just went on, from a buzz perspective, it felt like to me Georgia just kind of captured. I mean, after missing out on Jackson Campbell, which was a big blow, a guy that they really, really wanted to bring in this class, you're able to go out and go on this kind of run, a run that, quite frankly, Georgia fans are having a hard time comparing to anything they've seen in the past. And I think even nationally, it's hard to come up with a really strong comparison of something like this, this many guys in this close of a time period. You know, from that perspective, what's kind of the buzz with some of the guys you're talking to about what they're seeing Georgia's doing? I mean, is there a feel that, hey, Georgia's really on a tear right now when you're talking to these underclassmen?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I hear, probably is better hop on board while you can, while there's still spots available. You know, obviously guys want to play, you know, at a program like that. We've seen Alabama do this stuff, LSU in the past. I mean, they go on these runs and they compete for championships and they build, you know, class after class, you know, stack those classes of five stars on top of each other, like what Georgia's been doing the last few years. And I don't know if in my time, 20 plus years in the industry, to see, you know, a team go 7 days straight, you know, with the top elite recruit committing to that program. It just doesn't happen very often, you know. And, you know, of course, you know, teams have great runs, you know, a couple weeks they add four, five, six guys, or maybe a strong month here and there, May, June, whatever, or December, something like that in the past. But for 7 days straight, you know, to get a kid that they were, you know, a top priority, they were battling top programs, you know, across the country to win those battles. Look, it has everybody buzzing, from recruits to trainers to football fans to subscribers on Three Rivals, whatnot. They sent kind of a shockwave across the country and kind of creating that quick ascend, you know, to the top of the recruiting charts with Georgia. And they're not done. I mean, obviously, we're now early in July. Other big names will come off the board, and I think Georgia, like they did in June, will win some of those battles in July.
Look, you know how to lead these things in. You're a pro, man. You're a pro. Before we get to that, though, I got to talk about our friends over at sunheist.com. Great partners of ours. Get over, use code DOGSHQ20. 20% off your first purchase at Sun Heist. Look, they got a ton of new styles coming in all the time. They got free returns, great customer service. Whatever you need from Sun Heist, they got it. Okay, so are you worried about trying on a pair of sunglasses or buying a pair of sunglasses you haven't tried on? Order them, send them back with a free return if you don't like them. I think you will. They have a great product at a great price, and we've got an even better price when you use code DOGSHQ20. So get over there and check out sunheist.com. We need to get Chad in some of those with that Hulkamania t-shirt.
I'll take some.
Chad, one of the things I wanted to ask you about before we get into what's ahead for Georgia is looking at this class. In your opinion, are there any guys that we're not talking about maybe enough? Are there some of these guys that, you know, maybe being overlooked a little bit? I mean, obviously everybody's got Jared Curtis on the brain. But, you know, there are guys out there, I feel like, in this class that come to mind for me that are really elite players or really incredible players with great upside that maybe people aren't talking about enough. And I know you've seen a lot of these guys in person. I'm curious, who kind of maybe stands out to your in your mind when I kind of come to you with that question?
You know, I'll say a couple. You know, I'll say one on each side of the ball. I'll start with Lincoln Keys, the tight end from the Midwest. And look, everybody here where we live, Jake, talks about Caden Prothrow. You know, he's a guy that's right here in our home state of Georgia. And he's been a target, you know, three-time state champion, a big target. I'll come off the board. We'll talk about it probably here in a few minutes. But, you know, Lincoln Keys, man, I've seen him multiple times in 7-on-7 settings. I've seen him at the Rivals five-star camp just a week ago. Every time I see him, he performs and to me kind of outplays his ranking or outplays the buzz around him because he's not from the South. He wasn't a guy that's been talked about by a lot of Georgia fans or Georgia media in general. He committed, you know, obviously very early in the process, been locked in pretty much ever since for months now. And look, to me, he's one of those guys that may not look like five-star, you know, on the hoof. I mean, he's a good-looking kid, average, you know, big body, long-limbed, you know, a lot of good frame to work with at Georgia. But, look, the dude loves to compete. He kind of has that nasty edge to him. He wants to kind of get in your face, make a play, let his actions speak. Great ball skills. He can move. He's fluid. And he loves to work. You know, he's a guy I've been around and see a lot, always working on his route running and catching the ball away from his body and fighting for the ball in traffic. So to me, he's a guy offensively that I think Georgia fans need to watch when he gets on campus and be aware of. And then defensively, you know, a guy for me right there in Georgia's backyard, Kamari Brooks. I mean, obviously he was a hot name that just committed recently over Alabama. You know, USC was involved, Texas there, other schools too. But look, he's right there just a few miles from Georgia. But look, I'll say this first. I didn't really know what kind of player he was until I saw him last year in the state championship game. He really opened my eyes from multiple sacks in the state championship game, scored a touchdown at tight end as well. And then from that point on, going back and looking at his tape, watching him in the offseason, seeing how he works, what his body looks like, to me, he deserves to be in that discussion as one of the top defensive commits in this class. You know, I think people kind of took him from a Georgia fan perspective, maybe just took him out. He was going to be in this class. He's from Bogart, Georgia, North Oconee. He has ties to Georgia. Look, Bama put up a big fight in this race. I think it was tighter than people thought it would be in the end. But to me, don't take him for granted. Appreciate if you're a Georgia fan what you have in Kamari Brooks and what the Georgia coaching staff has to work with in the future, because I think he can be a nightmare off the edge. A kid, I like Lincoln Keys offensively, kind of a blue collar mentality, loves to work, loves to compete. He's not big on social media, not a big, hey, rah, rah, look at me kind of guy. He wants to go to work, be a team player, make those around him better. So to me, Lincoln Keys, Kamari Brooks kind of fit that, what I'm looking at here, Jake.
There's one guy also that I wanted to ask you about because I just don't feel he's a highly ranked guy. We're talking a top 75 player in the country, but you just don't hear his name mentioned, I feel like, as much as it should be. I'm curious your thoughts on Jordan Smith out of Houston County.
He'll hit you. You know, he's a middle Georgia Warner Robins type kid down there in Houston County. Look, he's a guy that, you know, plays fast, plays violent. Again, when you have guys like him that are somewhat kind of like Lincoln and Kamari that don't go on social media a lot. They don't push their name. They don't push their brand. They're not saying, hey, this is my 41st offer, 52nd offer. They're not saying that's all wrong, but those guys, he just kind of fits that mold where just kind of went through the process his own way at his own pace. He took multiple visits to Georgia, anybody even knowing he was in Athens. He doesn't promote it. He's not putting pictures out there. Another guy that to me loves to work, loves to compete. He plays football to me a little bit like the way it used to be played 10 to 15 years ago. Violent, aggressive, that kind of fits that Kirby Smart safety mold, kind of a Greg Blue mentality where he wants to come up and lay the wood. You got to lead with your shoulder, not with your head anymore, like Greg Blue and Thomas Davis did back in the day. But I think that's a great guy you brought up, Jake. I mean, look, plays hard, goes about his business. To me, he's the kind of kid you want to bring in to blend with all the other guys that are now big in social media, the big personalities, to kind of really balance out that safety room and give you a big-time presence that'll play physical, that'll play fast, that'll bring back. Like we know, look, that area is known. When you get below Macon, Georgia, you're getting that Warner Robins, Valdosta, Leesburg, South Georgia, Columbus. Those guys play, those guys hunt, you know, as we would say. And I think Jordan Smith kind of fits that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. No, look, it's too hot down there to not be hitting somebody hard. I mean, that's ultimately what it is. Hey, yeah, just like you said, a guy who doesn't promote himself a lot. And so for that reason, I feel like from time to time, Jordan Smith gets overlooked in this class, and I don't think he should. I think he's a really tremendous asset to this group and one Georgia fan should be aware of. Chad, I want to move into our final segment of this because, like you said earlier in the show, you're a pro at this. You're a great teaser. What's ahead for these Georgia Bulldogs? We got some big commitments coming up on the horizon. I know Caden Prothro, a name you brought up earlier, is set to commit here soon. Derek Cooper was going to. He backed off of that decision. But kind of looking toward August for Georgia, how does this month kind of shape out? Who are some of the guys we need to have on the radar?
Yeah, I think obviously we're starting first off with July 4th, Braden Fogle, another tight end commit. We talked about Lincoln Keys. We talked about Caden Prothro on the 12th. He'll announce here in about, 10 days or so? 9 days now, I guess, we're on the 3rd. But Braden Fogle first and foremost. I mean, we've kind of talked about him at different times. Could he be in this class? Is there room? You know, is he Notre Dame? Is he LSU? There's been different schools in the mix, and Georgia's kind of been in that top group. To me, Georgia is now the top team to beat, closing on the commitment here. And again, another athletic tight end, a guy that can catch, a guy that can run, and it'd be a big win, another big win for Todd Hartley if he does. But I think going from there, you have Prothro, you have I think a guy we don't talk a lot about is Tyreek Green from Buford, a safety who I think I've been told by multiple sources connected to Georgia that he's Kirby Smart's guy. Kirby has recruited him personally. He loves the versatility. You know, Kirby, as we know, is a former safety at Georgia. Tyreek's in that same mold, versatile kid, very smart, great instincts, ball skills, plays for a top program like Buford. We saw what K.J. Bolden did a year ago as a true freshman at Georgia. He'll be a big part of that defense the next probably 2 years and probably off to the NFL pretty quick for K.J. Bolden. Tyreek has learned from him at Buford. He wants to be like him, and I think they'll play together in the future at Georgia. I believe he's also the 12th, I believe. Georgia might get double the pleasure with Caden Prothro and Tyreek Green on July 12th. I think a big name, obviously, we're watching too is Tyler Atkinson. What does he do? When does he do it? Is he a July guy? Is he an August guy? You know, early on I heard about maybe that first, second week of August. I've heard more the last few days, maybe sometime in July. Get it done. I think he's still trying to figure that out. He's still having phone calls, you know, with Clemson, with Georgia, with Oregon, with Texas. You know, I still think, to me, obviously, anything can happen. We know in the NIL world, it with a guy like that, with the hashtag acting up, you know, his brand, anything can happen. He's going to get big offers thrown at him. I still think teams have to go through Georgia to win that recruiting battle. You know, is it going to be easy for Georgia? No. You know, he's a five-star kid, a national brand. I think Georgia has as good, if not a little bit better, of a chance to get him than anybody else right now as we speak, Jace. But look, everybody's coming hard. But Tyler's one to watch. And speaking of linebackers, Nick Abrams, too. He's July 16th, his birthday, up in Maryland. Everything I've heard puts Georgia in that lead group there with, you know, what I'm hearing is Oregon and Georgia, if there's a little bit of edge over Michigan and Alabama. But again, Nick's about as smart as they come. He says every school has a 25% chance with him. I don't know if I shape it that way based on what I hear, but I think all four schools are still in the mix. I just think Georgia has a really good shot there too. So there's still a lot, as Rusty would say, meat on that bone, you know, in Georgia's recruiting this cycle. So some big names still to watch, decisions being made in the next 2 weeks, maybe even with Tyler Atkinson late into July or early into August. So look, this class is number one right now in our recruiting rankings. They could add to that in the coming weeks, maybe starting tomorrow on July 4th.
Yeah, like you said, there's a lot of meat left on the bone, and they're right there right now. Can Georgia finish this class out number one? I mean, given what you know, you're the national guy. You know about all the teams out there, Chad, and what everybody's kind of got in play. You think Georgia can close out this this cycle at number one? I know it's early on.
Yeah, I would say they have a very real chance. I mean, they're obviously number one now, and they have a chance to win. Again, I would say more battles than they lose in the next month. You know, obviously the big one is Tyler Atkinson. The other big one's Caden Prothro. I think they have a great shot with Prothro. I think a good shot with Tyler Atkinson. What happens with Nick Abrams? What happens with Fogle? What happens with Tyreek Green? Those things will all factor into who kind of gets that number one class. But for me, Georgia has as good of a chance as anyone to go from now and keep that lead all the way through until the early signing period, early in December, as that number one class. Now, could other schools come in and make a push? You know, Ohio State, Texas, Alabama, you know, schools like, for sure. I mean, Texas has some big ones coming up with Felix Ojo, John Turnton. Could they get Tyler Atkinson away from Georgia? All those things factor in, but I think if I'm betting on someone to go number one, I would pick Georgia right now.
Stuff, Chad, as always. Hey, Chad, we appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much. You're always so generous with it, and you are the man when it comes to the Rivals director of recruiting. I mean, talk about things coming full circle, man.
This is my third time working for Rivals, I guess, technically, even though my paycheck still says on three, but I guess I'm on the Rivals side. But like, I mean, Rivals in 2004, Rivals in what, 2019, 2020, and then now here we are in 2025, Rivals again.
I followed you at every stop too. I've known you every time you've been at Rivals. So
we've worked together multiple times as well. So yeah, not just followed me, but been colleagues and teammates. So that's a good thing too.
That's right.
Chad. And remember, say your prayers, take your vitamins, baby. Hope you made
it. Chad, appreciate the insight today. And listen, as our man Rusty Mansell says, buckle up. A lot more to come for the Georgia Bulldogs this month. Guys, we'll catch you soon, Sunday night, back here on the Georgia Show. Thanks for tuning in.